This is the Frogcast.
Everybody, and welcome to the Frogcast. I am always drinking a beer when we start this show, but I got to tell everybody listening, I got two beers because you got to celebrate when you beat Texas 50-7. We have beaten them three out of the last 4 years. The combined score is 97-17 over the last 2 years. It is always good when we get to beat the University of Texas. Folks, we are here to talk about the Frogs' big win over the Longhorns. We're going to talk about our own top five in terms of national rankings, what we need to do to beat Kansas State. We got that and so much more on this episode of the Frogcast. Well, Trey, it's always good when we can beat Texas. Tell me what it was like to see us put a curb stomp on the Longhorns.
It was great. I was obviously at the game, and Texas had a decent showing with their fans, but it was great because after halftime they were pretty much all gone, which left the Frog fans to cheer and celebrate a beatdown. And I don't care how bad or how down Texas is, putting a thrashing like that on them is always a good time.
It is always a good day to beat Texas. All those years that they just beat us over and over in the Southwest Conference. If we would have scored 100, I would have felt just fine by that. Daniel, what did you think about seeing us beat the Longhorns?
It was fantastic. I was having a blast. I kind of like, since they're in a down year, there's not as many T-shirt fans, so you had a lot of alumni and more loyal ties people, so it was actually a real pretty civil environment. They know their crap, and they were just there to watch their team, so it was actually kind of fun because no one was really melting down. You could just see, like, the thousand-yard stare they had going on, and it felt good that, you know, knowing how long they've just completely destroyed us, to just put the whooping on them and to do it, and I got to watch them witness it. You know, it was fun enough for me to witness it, but I got to see their fans witness it, and I think that was almost as good as the win.
Yes, it was. I think that a little humility brought to Austin's program, knowing that this team that they had historically just run over, to see that we are clearly not only the better team on the field, but we are head and shoulders the better program. You know, we can talk about being Frog fans, and we think we're the best program in Texas. There's no debate that we are a better program than the University of Texas right now, and I am darn proud of that. Folks, there were a lot of things that went right on the game on Saturday. Trey, when you look at this defense and see how far we came from just a week ago in Lubbock to the near shutout, should have been a shutout, against Texas, and even though they're down a little bit, when you can hold somebody to 7 points with that defense, we have to feel good. What did you see on the defensive side of the ball that made you feel good about being a Frog?
Yeah, so, you know, after the SMU and the Tech games, I was, you know, pretty concerned and, you know, pretty worried, honestly, and I'm trying not to get overly excited about what we saw on Saturday because, as you mentioned, yeah, Texas is pretty down. They're pretty bad. But I loved what I saw. You know, the defense was flying around. They were gang tackling. They were wrapping up. They were creating turnovers. And they looked like a TCU defense that we expect to see week in and week out. And I loved it. Montrell Wilson had a career high 13 tackles. Traven Howard had also a career high 12 tackles. You know, obviously had Pearson back for Tech, but getting him, you know, fully back into the game and then getting Tua back. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but getting him back, those two dudes on the defensive line, I think, made a huge impact. They, you know, take up blockers and freed up the linebackers, and I thought the linebackers played great. Ridwan Ishihaku, if I'm saying that one right, too, at safety, made his first career start and had 9 tackles. And this game just it felt like, and I hate this word, they got their swagger back. Like, they looked like a TCU defense. They looked confident. They looked like they knew what they were doing, where they needed to be. And we're going to get into it more here in just a little bit, but I like where the Frogs are sitting right now. The defense, I was impressed, and like I said, I don't know how bad, you know, how much of that Texas had to do with it, with them stinking so bad, but, you know, when you hold a team to 7 points, like you said, should have been a shutout. I'm feeling really good right now.
Yeah, we have to feel good about our defense. Just the progress from Lubbock to Fort Worth in 1 week, we have to be impressed with. I think Patterson is growing up this defense in the way that we knew he would when we thought it was going to be a whole bunch of different other starters. It's just a new set of kids, so we're a couple weeks behind. But we see some progress. I saw them flying around the ball and doing their job, and that was an improvement from the last 2 weeks, from SMU to Tech to Texas, and I think we have to feel good about where the defense is. On the other side of the ball, we saw a freshman breakout. And Daniel, what did you see that made us feel really good about the win on the offensive side of the ball, not the least of which was seeing Turpin rip it up on the field?
Yeah, he was really good. I mean, he actually, you know, he got 4 touchdown receptions. He actually became the first freshman to get 4 touchdowns in a single game in Big 12 history. I don't know if you saw that. He had 6 receptions for 138 yards. Looks like the longest one was 50 yards, and he just flew past everybody, juked that one guy. Then he just I can't remember the other one. Anyway, Boykin was great, threw for like 330 something yards, 5 touchdowns. I noticed they laid off Doxson a little bit, and I'm guessing he was more of a decoy after the week before. That was just my guess. I don't know. He still had 2 touchdowns though. And if you hadn't already heard, Boykin, I think he's got 74 career touchdowns now, which has now surpassed Andy Dalton, that's pretty incredible. And there were no interceptions, which doesn't really surprise me. There's only 1 turnover in the whole game. But like 601, I think, total yards we had. Our time of possession was split at 30 minutes apiece. We had 31 first downs. And that's pretty good considering once we got way up, we started Kohlhausen didn't come in for a while, but we started putting in the younger receivers like Jalen Austin. Even Tony James got in there a little bit. So the numbers could have been a lot better, but I think it's good that we got to blow them out and still get a bunch of work in.
Yeah, that's a great combination when the game is clearly in hand by the end of the first quarter, and you're able to control the game, get what you want, and then get all of those young guys in there to get reps on both sides of the ball. And so we have to feel good about that. I do. I got to tell you, I love Christensen coming in late in the game to run the ball. I know he did that against Stephen F. Austin. He did it against Texas. That kid's got to feel good. I mean, he never would have thought when he walked on at TCU, I'm going to get to go in and run the ball in mop-up time when we are pounding the University of Texas. Oh, that's got to feel good for a kid like that to go in there and get those carries. He had 14 yards on 3 carries. Good for him. Good for him.
He's intense.
He is intense, man. He comes to play. He's a Southwest version of Rudy. He's ready to go. Well, either one of you guys got anything else you want to add on what we saw on the offensive or the defensive side of the ball that contributed to the Frogs' big victory over the Longhorns?
Just that, I mean, we got an absolute steal in Kevontae Turpin. I mean, the dude, you know, it's crazy when you actually take a look that that another receiver can take some shine off Josh Dotson, because that dude is so freaking awesome. But you have another receiver come in as a freshman, as Daniel mentioned, sets a Big 12 freshman record with 4 touchdowns. I mean, he's quickly becoming one of my favorite Frogs on the team, not only as a receiver, but a punt returner too. I think he's just a special player, and I freaking love that guy. Really do.
Yeah, when they ran that wheel route to the our side of the sideline, when he was in one-on-one, you just knew he was going to score. You just knew that that poor kid was going to get juked and end up on ESPN highlight reel over and over. He is an amazing addition. He is one of the rare players where, you know, I will admit, I watch a little too much huddle videos of recruits that we're possibly going to get. And I saw his tape, and I'm like, either this kid is like playing 1A ball, or he is absolutely amazing and no one has offered him. We only had 3 Division I offers. We are so lucky to have him. So lucky to have him. Daniel, did you see anything else on defense that made you feel good about the team?
Let me see here. Let's see. I got a little tidbit, just something I thought was interesting. after we, let's see, we scored 30 points in the first quarter against Texas. So now TCU is responsible for the last three times a team has scored 30 points in a quarter against a Power 5 opponent.
So oh my gosh.
Yeah. So we did it, and no one else has for the last three times with Texas, and then Tech, and then Iowa State. So I thought that was pretty cool.
That is a great statistic. That is a great statistic. So that is good. And who would ever thought of that after the 2013 season that that's where we would be at?
Never.
Never. Well, guys, we are in a good position as the Frogs right now. We are 5-0. We are in a great spot. We got a couple big games coming up still. But, Trey, when you look at the national landscape in terms of where the Frogs sit, how do you feel about where we are and what's going on all around us in college football?
Yeah, I'm trying not to get too overly excited, but, you know, I feel like I watch a lot of college football, I think more than just the average Joe for sure. And when I look around the entire landscape, to me, there's not one team out there that TCU can't beat. I mean, we saw Ohio State look extremely pedestrian against Indiana, you know, squeaked out the 7-point win there. They barely beat Northern Illinois at home by 7, you know, a couple weeks ago. Michigan State, you know, slid by with a 3-point win over a 1-4 Purdue team at home. And their win against Oregon doesn't look near as impressive now since the Ducks got throttled by Utah. You know, Ole Miss, Notre Dame, UCLA, and Georgia all lost this past weekend. And I was pretty high on Ole Miss, so I was surprised that they got the beatdown treatment from Florida. And, I mean, obviously, I don't think does the Georgia thing shock anybody. I mean, they are year in, year out the most overrated, overranked team in the country. I mean, I don't know if they've ever lived up. Have they ever lived up to their preseason ranking? I mean, they're always top 10 and they always choke it away every year. It drives me freaking crazy. You know, Baylor looked good against Tech, but I mean, they've played one Power 5 team and we're you know, a month into the season and they've played one Power 5 team and it was at a neutral site. You know, and they, you know, if you look back, they gave up 31 points to Lamar also. So, you know, Baylor's offense looks great. I'm not sold on their defense. You know, Oklahoma handled West Virginia, which shocked me a little bit. But they also, you know, if you go back, they needed overtime to beat a 2-3 Tennessee team. And they allowed Tulsa to put up 38 points in Norman. So, you know, I know, like, this same stuff can be said about TCU. The Frogs gave up 52 to Tech or, you know, struggled to put SMU away at home. But when I just look around, you know, you know, you throw in LSU, Texas A&M, if you want to, Clemson. I mean, I think there's, you know, a handful, 10, you know, 6 good teams in college football this year. But I think the Frogs are in a great spot, especially with Kansas State and Iowa State coming up. And I'm not trying to overlook them, but in my opinion, TCU should beat both of those teams. So you've got 2 weeks here where, you know, and they're not extremely, you know, pass heavy offenses either. So you've got 2 weeks here where, you know, get your defense some more experience. And then, you know, you get really into the meat of the schedule with, you know, West Virginia and everybody else. But I really like where we're sitting at 5-0. And yeah, there's some tough games ahead, but to me, none of those teams are, you know, unbeatable. I think the Frogs have a really good chance.
Yeah, I don't see anybody that has clearly risen to the top. You can look at the chink in the armor of every team, including TCU, but that should give us confidence that we have time to improve, we have time to continue to get better on defense, because everybody else has got problems. But I got something to tell you guys that'll make you laugh, and hopefully our listeners too. I went to church this morning, and there's an Ohio State fan in our church, and I was kind of giving him a hard time, and he literally looked at me with a straight face and said, "You know, Lubbock's a tough place to play, and Bloomington's a tough place to play. You guys know how that is." And I was like, "Are you telling me that it's as hard to go to Bloomington, Indiana, and beat Indiana as it is to go to Lubbock, Texas, and beat Tech?" And he's like, "Oh, yeah, that's a tough place to win." Like, you're the only person in the world that has ever said that. Yeah. So, yeah, that's there's some Big Ten apologists there.
I don't know how they're still number one. Like, I don't necessarily know who I would put at number one, but I don't think it should be Ohio State.
No, that's all just blue blood crap to me. I mean, there's a handful that could easily be replaced or replace Ohio State, but it's just that whole they were the defending national champions, which I really don't think that matters at all. But once you start at number one, they do like Florida State last year. You know, they just stayed in the top because they, even though they were crap, they just hadn't lost. They squeaked by.
Yeah, we've got a month until the selection committee starts to put out their weekly pointless polls. So that'll give us something else to talk about here in a couple of weeks. Speaking of polls, Daniel, we are number two in both the AP poll and the coaches poll. How do you feel about where we're ranked, and does that surprise you at all that the Frogs are getting so much respect nationally?
Yeah, it does, actually. It surprised me a little bit. I saw earlier this morning when the coaches poll came out, it was number two, and I was like, wow, that's crazy, because I really didn't think we would it move up. I thought we would actually get bumped by, you know, down a couple because, yeah, Texas is crappy. Yeah, our defense isn't that great. And then you saw Baylor go out and take care of Tech real easy, and then we moved up to number two, and then I thought, well, all right, that's the coaches' poll. They're usually pretty nice to us, and the AP poll comes out. We're number two there. I knew we were going to drop in that. I figured we'd be like five or six. Baylor would jump us, things like that. I don't know if it's because people see the defense coming around, and they know the offense is just dominant, and, you know, I have a couple ideas why maybe we're getting respect, but I'm not used to it. I'm used to nothing but disrespect, no matter how good we do. So it's refreshing, but I'm still cautiously optimistic, I guess.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. Go ahead, Trey.
I was going to say, I think, you know, you just talked about Ohio State and that blue blood, and they kind of have that name going for them. And as bad as Texas is, they still have that brand name, and I think – when a lot of people looked at that score and saw that TCU slaughtered Texas 50-7, I think a lot of people took notice of that. And I mean, I even heard Herb Street on the game he was calling. They briefly mentioned, like, gosh, when is the last time a team's jumped on Texas 30-0 in the first quarter? Like, I think that opened a lot of people's eyes, or at least that's my theory on why we didn't fall. Cause with you, Daniel, I was totally expecting Baylor to jump us. Hell, maybe even Oklahoma. I don't know, because it seems anytime TCU wins by 40, they fall in the polls for some reason. But that's the only thing I can think of is people saw TCU 50, Texas 7, and were like, damn. So,
well, we've had a couple of weeks of stories about how Texas was improving. They'd made some changes. They had a quarterback that was passionate and had skill, which they basically haven't had since Colt McCoy. And, you know, I hate the what-if games with college football, because what happened is what happened. But what if that kick had gone through against Cal? And what if they hadn't botched the punt and had, you know, some really questionable calls in that game against Oklahoma State? I mean, they could have been 3-1. Coming to Fort Worth with their only loss the beginning of the season, with a quarterback that had been benched and a coordinator that had basically been fired at a top 10, getting beat by a top 10 team on the road. They could have been, I mean, people were wanting to pump them up because they are a blue blood program. And then to see all of that get deflated basically in the first 10 minutes of the game, I agree with you, Trey. I think even though they're bad, that's a team that we beat that was two plays away from being 3-1 with some really good wins. Cal is 5-0. I mean, that's a good team in what is, people say, the second best conference in the country. So maybe we're getting some respect from people that are actually paying attention a little bit. Well, now we've kind of kicked around the polls, we want to take a minute here and take a look at where each of us think the top five teams are in the country. So, Trey, who do you have in your top five? I know it's fluid. I know we've all just said nobody's really the clear number one, but we're going to put you on the spot. Who you got as number one all the way down to number five?
Yeah, so I have to go with Utah at number one, personally. I just based on what we've seen through this point in the season, I think they've looked the best. Obviously we have a lot of history with Utah, and I love that Utah and TCU are kind of leading their conferences right now. They were the teams from Mountain West Conference that could never, you know, survive in a Power 5 conference. They couldn't take the week in and week out beating. But I have to go Utah 1. I have TCU 2. Going with Baylor at 3, like I mentioned earlier. I mean, Baylor's offense looks damn good. It's, you know, that Black Friday game is looking set up like a shootout similar to the Tech game. And then for my 4 and 5, I think vary from a lot of the, I guess, national perspective, but I put Texas A&M at 4 and Clemson at 5. I've kind of started buying into the Aggie Kool-Aid a little bit. And it's more about their defense. I mean, those two defensive ends, man, I mean, they are killer. They get after the quarterback, and I think their defense looks really good. And Clemson was one of my original, you know, during our first podcast, I picked Clemson to be one of my top four to make the playoffs. And, you know, they got a big win over Notre Dame. So I'm going with Utah, TCU, Baylor, A&M, and Clemson. That's my top five right now.
Not a bad top five. Not a bad at all. Daniel, who do you have in your top five, top to bottom?
Well, once again, we're pretty much on the same page. I wasn't really – I got to give you credit for picking Clemson early in the year because I wasn't completely sold on them, but they – the final score didn't really reflect it that well, but they let Notre Dame have it last night. That was very impressive. There was a lot of energy with that game. So I've got Clemson in there. I have Utah's number one because so far they're really the only ones that have, to me, completely proven – that's where they belong. Ohio State can buzz off. I put TCU at 2. I would prefer to have Baylor at 128, but I've got them at 3 as well. And, yeah, that offense is it's boring, but it's really scary because it's very effective. And then I put Clemson at 4, and because I don't like the Aggies, I'll put them at 5 because whatever. That's where they belong. But, yeah, they got, you know, Chavis comes in there. They get Daylon Mack. They've got a lot of talent, and they're really turning that around. It's not just – there's still a little bit to prove, but it's not just a bunch of stupid hype like usual.
Yeah, I'm not going to have a whole lot different than you. I got one team that definitely varies. I've got Utah number one because they beat Michigan, who's now either 3-1 or 4-1. Who I predicted at the beginning of the year will beat Ohio State in the Big House, and I think I still hold by that. I got Utah number one. I got the Frogs number two. I got Baylor number three. I've got LSU at number four, and I'm going to pay for that in a week or two here. But, gross. You know, Leonard Fournette is a great running back. He's the best running back in college football. They didn't look all that good against Eastern Michigan. They haven't looked all that good against some other teams. But I don't know that the SEC West is all that good. You know, I think Bama is beatable, even though they put the beat down on Georgia. That's like beating Texas. I mean, my little side joke I wanted to make, Trey, is that Georgia is Texas other than Texas won that national championship in 2005. They overpromise and underdeliver every single year. But everybody says Mark Richt's a nice guy, just like Mac Brown's a nice guy. So Utah, TCU, yeah. Baylor, LSU, and then I got Ohio State number five because they're going to be undefeated at the end of the year. That's just, I mean, oh, my gosh, the Big Ten is such a cupcake conference. So that's who I've got in my top five. Well, before we move forward here and talk about looking at Kansas State and looking ahead, we want to just take 1 second and thank everybody for listening to the Frogcast and make sure you know all the ways that you can find us. You can find the Frogcast on iTunes. You can find us at thefrogcast.com, as well as following us on Twitter at thefrogcasttcu. We also have a Facebook page called The Frogcast, and at all of those locations, we post the link every Monday morning to where we are able to break down what happened in the last game, what's going on in national college football scene, as well as looking forward. And like we do every week, we post it on Killer Frogs, and we want to thank Wes and Scott for letting us share our content on there. They got a great location. It's one of the biggest TCU communities that you'll ever find online. Go there and find the Frogcast at killerfrogs.com as well and interact with some other cool Frog fans. Well, this week we travel to the Little Apple up there to Manhattan and take on Kansas State. Bill Snyder, who I think pound for pound is probably the best coach in college football in terms of doing more with less than anybody else. We are traveling up there, and we get a 6:30 national kickoff on Fox, on the Big Fox. We get to watch the Frogs take on the Wildcats. Really quick here, guys. Trey, what do you see in terms of keys to success to beating a Bill Snyder team that you know will be disciplined, that you know won't beat themselves, that we're going to have to go above and beyond to beat in Manhattan?
Yeah, I mean, you said it. I think the key is discipline. Honestly, going into this one, I feel pretty confident. You know, when you look at the Kansas State, you know, offense, their quarterback, Joe Huebner, is, you know, thrown for 670 yards. You compare that to Trevon Boykin, and Boykin's thrown 1,800 yards. So, you know, three times as many for Boykin. You know, Kansas State has their quarterback has four passing touchdowns on the year. The rushing attack, you know, is not bad, but I don't see Kansas being able to stop the TCU offense. And I think Kansas State doesn't have the downfield passing attack that really gives TCU fits. So, I mean, I can see this one kind of being similar to last year. I think that the Frogs go and, you know, take care of business. And, you know, TCU won 41-20 last year. I mean, I think it's somewhat, you know, similar score range, because, I mean, I think TCU wins this game by like 17 to 20 points, honestly.
Daniel, what do you think of our chances up in Manhattan?
It's a tough place to play. It's definitely tough at night. You know, all the respect in the world for the Purple Wizard, Bill Snyder. But it's just not going to happen. I just can't see it. I don't see them stopping the offense at all. They don't have as good an offense themselves. I think the quarterback is like basically their fourth string now or something like that. They don't have Tyler Lockett anymore. It's just they're just not as complete a team as they were, I guess, a year ago. They're still solid, and like you said, they're not going to beat themselves because that's just how they roll. But we'll roll them, I think, by 20 points or so.
Yeah, it seems like that in the way that Snyder recruits, especially with junior college, they have every other year where they're pretty darn good. You know, that they were great in 2012, and then 2013 they came out and got beat by South Dakota State or North Dakota State to open the season, and then eventually got better. But then that launched them into what was a 9-3 year last year and coming in third in the Big 12. And so I just think it's a down year for Kansas State, although I'm sure you guys have seen this floating around the web. They should be undefeated. And, you know, they got jobbed up there in Stillwater by the terrible Big 12 refs. If you don't follow them, go follow them. They had a first down that got awarded to Oklahoma State. And so this is clearly a good team. I mean, anybody that beats Oklahoma State or could have beat Oklahoma State in Stillwater is pretty good. But I just don't think they're going to be able to hang with the athleticism. There's a quote that goes around high school athletes that I've discovered in hanging around them with coaching and officiating. And it says, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. And that's kind of the Bill Snyder mantra, is that, you know, they're not the most talented team, but they work hard. Well, we've got the upside at TCU. We have talent and they work hard. And so I think that is going to be the difference for this game, is that we are going to be disciplined. We are going to have some health back on defense and hopefully have some starters back on offense. I'd love to see Colby Listenby in there, because one of their corners is awful when I watch the game. And whoever is awful, they're just going to throw towards him, whether it's Garden trying to guard Listenby or Doxson.
Yeah, I was just going to chime in and say we're supposed to have Listenby and Lathan back. So this should even be a more explosive defensive line. Tua should be like Pearson last week. He didn't play that much because he wasn't quite in shape for it. I think he played almost the whole game, but Tua had to keep coming out because he needed some rest. So he should be closer to, you know, game shape. And then with Lathan in there too, it's going to be good stuff.
Yeah. I think we should make the obligatory comment that if you're going to drink beer as a Frog fan this year, it's got to be Keystone. I just think that's a given. We won't make light of that, but I'm glad that those boys got cleared. I'm glad that incident got cleared up, and I'm glad the Frogs got, especially two of them back. It's gonna be helpful for us. So, well, fellas, is there anything that happened on the national college football scene that either one of you want to weigh in on that we haven't hashed through already? We've talked about a lot, but is there anything that you came here wanting to say to the people that listen to this show each week that you haven't had a chance to say yet? Trey, anything else on your mind?
You know, kind of hit on most of it. You know, Baylor was impressive against Tech, but, you know, at the same time, they still let Tech, you know, put up 35. points, which, you know, we obviously gave up a lot more, but, you know, like I said earlier, their offense looks good. I was shocked by Arizona State coming out and beating UCLA pretty good. I thought, you know, UCLA might be the team to come out of the Pac-12, but they didn't look too good against the Sun Devils. And, yeah, just keep piling on Georgia. I just can't believe, you know, that was – they were talking about how that was the first time in, like, some, like, 70 weeks, I think it was, that Alabama was a underdog. I think they were a one-point dog going into that game, and they just came out and crushed Georgia 38-10. So, that shocked me. And obviously our friends at Minnesota, they didn't look too good against Northwestern, getting beat 27-0. Minnesota just, you know, we obviously pull for them pretty hard because it helps us out, but their quarterback situation is just atrocious. So
those were kind of Northwestern's pretty good this year too, so it's not the worst.
No, it's not, but you know, it would have been nice for them to at least not get shut out.
They beat them a lot worse than we did.
Yeah, that's the truth.
That's sad but true. Yeah, Daniel, anything else you saw on the national scene that you wanted to share?
Yeah, I would want to point out that, you know, while Baylor looked really good and all that, Tech played awful. I think they had 17 penalties, four turnovers or something around there. I don't remember, but yeah, like 17 penalties. So a lot of that game could have gone another way. I think it could have been a lot tighter. Mahomes is still banged up. So I'm still not super, super worried about it. I mean, that makes me feel a little better that although Tech kind of gave them a lot of that game, if you have a good defense, unlike Baylor, we got a shot. So I'm not too worried about it. The other game that really stood out to me was out of nowhere, here comes Florida beating the greatest football team of all time, Ole Miss. I didn't see that coming at all. In fact, I haven't even thought about Florida in a couple years because they're just so far off the radar. They're it doesn't whatever. So I don't know, but I don't really know. You know what to make of it? How did that happen?
Well, Jim McElwain must be a good coach. I mean, I honestly thought they made a bad hire there. I thought that there were several people that they could have hired for a job that's basically that is one of the blue bloods. That's one of the best jobs in the country, and I thought they underhired. And clearly I was wrong because they are undefeated. They've got a big win against Ole Miss, and the SEC East is wide open. So I don't see any reason why Florida can't control their own destiny and make their way into the SEC championship game. So they'll be the ones that will play who knows who. We have no clue who they're going to play from the SEC West. But, yeah, I was surprised by that. It's already been highlighted, but I was surprised that West Virginia didn't put up more of a fight against Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma is coming together. I think their offense is probably on the same trajectory as our defense. They're living into it. You know, Lincoln Riley is going to continue to grow that offense up. And I think we're going to have a battle in November that I'm just looking forward to. I want to win them all, but the idea that we get to play Oklahoma and Baylor in back-to-back weeks is going to be amazing for us. That is why we wanted to join the Big 12, to play in these big games. And I think Oklahoma is going to be a pretty darn good team. And I wouldn't be surprised if they're undefeated. I think they're going to – if they can turn it on against Texas, I think they're going to pour it on. They have a little less mercy than maybe Gary Patterson does. I can see them throwing deep into the fourth quarter. So, well, folks, that's all I have for this week's edition of the Frogcast. It's always fun to talk with these boys and rehash a big win over the Longhorns, and hopefully we'll be able to talk next week about a big win over the K-State Wildcats. So for Daniel Southern and for Trey Fallon, I am Jeff Mitchell, and thank you for listening to the Frogcast.